You are listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Leinster. To find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
The working idea we're going to look at is the voice of the mother. And I wasn't going to kind of make a big deal about Mother's Day in terms of the teaching and the preaching, but after doing a bit of thinking this, just kind of praying this morning, I really believe that what we're looking at in terms of going through Isaiah, there's a voice, there's a role, there is a place and a position for mothers, for mums within this, through the Spirit. So I'm going to ask you guys first, and I really encourage participation, please, is who or what is a voice of influence in your life? So who or what is a voice of influence in your life? Now, you might have two thoughts. You might have a thought of, I have no idea who is a voice speaking into my life. And you might have another immediate response, which is more like an emotional reaction. Maybe it's a voice that you don't like being a voice of influence in your life. Or maybe it's a voice that you would like to have as more of an influence in your life. Do you guys just want to kind of speak out some of the things you've been thinking when I ask that question? Who's or what is a voice of influence in your life? So the aim is the next 20 minutes we're going to answer that. We're all going to be happy with it. I'm going to leave completely with a full revelation. No, that's, you're absolutely right, Christina, that it's a really aware question. That the voices aren't just the ones that we are aware of, but there's a shed load of voices that are always kind of going on around us. That noise, it's almost like we're always in some level of white noise around us, be it physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. There is a whole load of different voices. And even within those, we'll look at in a bit of tones of voice as well. I'll talk a little bit about an interesting experience I had regarding voices and tones. And then I'd like to let the Bible shed as much light on this as possible in relation to what we're going through as a church with Isaiah 61. So I just wanted to read out the first few verses of Isaiah 61, which is kind of what we're going through as a church. And we're going to read it through this lens of what are the voices of influence or the tones. And what are these voices saying from this passage here? So Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." So God, as we just open up these verses today, let our hearts be opened up and reflect your glory through our experience from the truth that's held in these verses. God, we ask that we don't come at this with judgmental or critical eyes, but we come at this wanting to hear your truth for our time, for our moment, for this day. Amen. So, I'll start with my interesting experience first. For those of you who've known me a few years, you would be aware that I was in a job recently, local school, that I found really difficult and challenging. And it led to a whole shed load of self-doubt, criticism coming from left, right, and center, leading to me really having no measure of what was good or bad or otherwise in my life. I had no idea if what I was doing was a good thing. I had no idea if the direction I was going in was the right thing. I had what I thought were convictions, but even those kind of got worn down over time. And kind of after hearing the same voices at work, criticizing, challenging, critiquing in some way, I found myself without really any base for my actions in my work. And for those of us who work full-time or have worked in like a full-time capacity, when you're spending most of your waking hours in that kind of environment, it really messes with your sense of self, with your head. And there was one particular day, to be fair, it's probably about a year ago now, I was in bed ruminating about all these different things going on in my head and in my heart, trying to kind of grasp what is really quite a nebulous idea, trying to get hold of your emotion, trying to get hold of your thoughts, trying to grapple with what's my thought, what's from someone else, is it God, is it me, is it an echo? And as I was thinking of what could be happening in my life, what could be happening in the future, I started to dream. What could my role in life become? What could my role as dad, in church, at work, what might that look like if I take God at his word that I can ask for immeasurably more, that he will do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine? What if I start dreaming about those? And as I started dreaming about those to try and fight against all of these kind of critical thoughts and ideas, the moment I started dreaming, I had a voice. And the voice literally, I could hear it. It almost felt like I could hear it in the room to the left back behind me. And the voice just said, "Who are you to think like this? You're never going to make it." And it was as clear as anything. I could hear it. I could place it in my head. It was just there. And what was even more interesting is that the voice had an identity. And the voice was my mum's, which for me, I've never had before. I've never had a voice in my head that's been so clear, that's so strong, that's so loud, that belonged to somebody else. And it really shook me. I was like, shoot, like that's the first time it's really happened. And also, someone who I would not have expected to say that kind of thing in my head. In my head, my mum doesn't say those kind of things. And I had a chat with Paola about it to kind of, you know, work out what is going on. And it was at a time when Paola was at home a lot, spending lots of time with our girls. And even though I don't think about much of what my mum has said to me in the past, what I notice is that the words that Paola was saying over our girls, the words and the actions and the interactions that Paola has with our daughters, will be the pattern that they have for the large majority of their lives, even if they remember zero of it. The interactions, the words, there might be no memory there. There might be no actual picture in their head of the time they played the memory game for the umpteenth time, the time when they sang that children's rhyme for the 100th time, the time when they acted out dogs and puppies or pirates for whatever time. But it stays in the head, and it influences the way that they interact, not just with themselves, but with mum, but with dad and other people. And that, in turn, that led me to think, so what have then been the voices in my life that maybe I can't remember or have been unaware of, but have had a lasting impact on my life? And, you know, the whole thing with it being my mum's voice, I was like, well, why is it that in my head has come out? What is it about that voice? I'm not a counselor, a psychologist. We're not going to go into any of that. But it's just an interesting thought of, we are not exactly the people who we think we are. we're rarely the people who we'd like to be. And Romans tells us that there are lots of things we'd like to do, but we don't do. And actually, we do the very things we don't want to do, which kind of tells me there's me, and then there's like another me that's working out in my head somewhere and making me do these things that I don't want to do. So this idea of voices and influence isn't something that we can just kind of brush away with who's loudest in our lives. The idea of what voices we have that are speaking to us on a daily basis, that have been working in our hearts for years, needs to be addressed in some way. And I can't do that individually for you. What I can do is hopefully give you guys some ideas, some pointers as to voices that might be there, or what these voices might be saying. But I want to ultimately look at who should we let speak into our lives? Who should we let speak into our hearts and our minds and influences? Now, to start with, Deuteronomy 21 verse 18 says this in terms of who we let influence us, in terms of who we listen to. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and, although they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him. If you're a parent, you'll love this bit, by the way. Then his father and his mother shall take him and bring him to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of this city, "This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." I'm hoping your kids aren't old enough to be drunkards and gluttons. But then this bit then says, "Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and Israel shall hear and fear." Now, in terms of disciplining your kids, that's not a light touch. I think if that was to be in some kind of child parenting book nowadays, there would be some serious safeguarding issues around that. But for me, that tells me about the level of the importance of the voice of the parents in the life of a child, but also the importance that children should give to their parents' voices. Yeah? It's not saying necessarily that parents have to have the perfect voice. What it's saying is children need to have trust and obey their parents' voices. We need to allow their voices to influence us. So there's an active aspect when we listen to people who are in authority and responsibility and care over us. Because if we don't, the Bible calls it, we need to purge the evil amongst us. And I was like, that's not like a 50-50 kind of thing. That's not like, let's weigh up what they said and then decide. It's that your parents have said something, you need to obey them. And our Western 20th century selves would often hold caution to that and say, well, what have they said? Why have they said it? Do I agree with it? Is it true? And we'll kind of have a load of other filters to go through before we actually agree or obey this voice, these words. So there's a gap there, isn't there, between how the Bible is seeing obedience and voices of influence versus how we come at it nowadays. So why is it the case that we need to obey these voices? And why is it the case that it's evil if we don't? And this, for me, is where the voice of the mother is so important. And the mother, as opposed to just the father, or the mother and the father. Because there is one thing that parents do more so than anyone else. What might that be? What do parents do instinctively more so than anyone else?
They love you.
Yeah. Parents instinctively love, show compassion, show care for whose benefit? The kid. Those of us here who are mums who have got parents, all of us have got parents. Parents don't do things, they don't even do things for themselves to make it easy. They do things for the kid, for their future, for their best. But as parents, if you were to say kind of, what am I trying to get at here? How would you describe the love that a parent has for a child? Just throw out some words. How would you describe the love or the care that a parent has for a child? Unconditional? Sorry? Unconditional? Yeah, absolutely. You're not expecting anything back in return. It's, you know, you're looking after that kid, whether or not they love you back. That's cool. That's nice. Yeah, day in, day out, night in, night out, 3 o'clock in the morning in. Consistent. What else? Oh my days, that's huge. It's a wasp. That's right. It's quite docile. What other words might we think of? So I was thinking of the word self-sacrificial. Parents will sacrifice their ease, their well-being, for the sake of the child. For the parents, the kids always come first. Yeah? You'll sacrifice your early morning, you'll sacrifice your money, you'll sacrifice your time, you'll sacrifice your... insert anything that you might have here for the kid. So in terms of the parent's view of the child, the parent is only ever for the child, for their future, for who they are, for the best of that kid. Now, the mother... There's one verse that for me, whenever I think of mums, that the Bible specifically speaks of, it says, this is Jesus talking about Jerusalem. And he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. So he gives a specific picture of a mother hen who's gathering kids underneath the wings. And you do that for protection, right? You do that to care for, to look after. And mums and dads, I believe, biblically also have very specific roles. And even from what I've seen, read, and heard, there's a whole load of like psychology actually behind this, but in terms of how parents parent differently according to gender. And the mum is more, being maternal, she cares for, she brings close, she nurtures, she shares compassion, she cares, and is always kind of responding to the child's needs. So when Christine said that Johnny, your son, has influenced you, that is absolutely the heart of the mother. It's to respond to the child's needs and to make sure they have everything that they need in life to succeed and do well and to survive and thrive. So as mums, that is kind of the role that God has carved out. Men will talk about another day. There's Dad's Day for that, Father's Day for that. But I mean, one little thing would always be... When a dad plays with their kids, often someone's going to get hurt. Yeah, there'll be a bumped head. There will be some climbing on top of each other. There'll be kicking and screaming, all in fun, of course, until someone does get hurt. But it's often the case that the dad will be the one that's kind of, you know, loud shouting and, you know, that kind of hands-on play, that play fighting, that kind of differentiates some of that. So now, with the voice of the mother being about caring, protecting, being secure, showing compassion, caring, being in a position for growth, I think these verses in Isaiah give us an indication of actually how that works out in life. And that verse in Deuteronomy as well, where it says the voice of the father and the voice of the mother, they're not just people in your life, but they're also sources of influence, essentially. You have your, in a sense, your father traits, your mother traits. So when it says here, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring or to preach or to speak out good news. We're looking at this also. Mothers have a huge role to play in this, not just because you're told to speak these out, but also because of your very nature is to nurture. Your very nature is to bring growth, to protect, to encourage growth. You can see here it says, He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And I think if you've got anyone who's hurt, if you've got a child who's hurt, they go straight to mum. Because mum is often the most sympathetic. They'll be the one who brings the tender touch, the nurturing touch. Dads will often just say, that's a bit, you know, it's merely a scratch. It's a flesh wound. So there's an aspect there that mothers will instinctively have a part of their voice and part of their nature that is to bring this gospel to other people. Part of who you are, who God has made you to be, is about binding up the hurting person. And it talks, yeah, so just reading through those. Verse 3 says, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So, as mums, nurture, protect, care for, show compassion, the seed that was planted starts to grow. And doesn't just start to grow into a little sapling or into something that we have no idea what it's going to be like. It's going to grow into an oak of righteousness. It's going to grow into something that is definable, that is strong, that you can see, and that will last. And that comes from not just kind of what was already in there to begin with, but that comes from also what is being spoken over it. Your children, the children in your family, the next generation below you, grow into what is being spoken over them. Not simply what is in them already, but they grow into what is spoken over them. That's why we're called to bring good news to the poor. Bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives. Captives become free, not just because they have their shackles taken off them, but captives become free because they're told they're free and repeatedly told they're free. It's all of our jobs to speak all of these verses over others and over each other. Last week we looked at how all of this is the gospel of Isaiah, but how we are anointed, and mums especially, to bring this nurturing, growing, protective, secure environment in which not just children, but people grow up into oaks of righteousness. For me, the whole picture comes down to even just the way that marriage works, in that it's not just physicality or science, but you have male and female that fit into each other, that the male has the seed, the woman has the egg, and it's in the woman physically that growth happens. Yeah, it doesn't happen in the man, it happens in the woman. So as part of our actual physicality, women are made, men are made to complement and to be the environment within which people grow. And I believe it is an absolute mess currently that we're in, where we do not, as a world, as people around us, differentiate between male and female. As genders, one of the greatest things that we can bring to the table are our differences. We're told to be unified, not uniformed. As people, we're told to bring unity to the body of Christ, not uniformity. We're not meant to be everyone else. We're meant to be who God has made us to be. You have your unique voice, but you also have the voice of influence that God has given you according to who he has made you. Male and female, he has created them. If you don't listen to the voice of your father and the voice of your mother, we all speak the words of freedom, of liberty, of growth, of abundance, of favor. We all speak it forth. But it's from who we are, from who God has made us to be, that that starts to actually take on form. So I want to encourage the mums, the women especially, that your words are powerful. Your words are influential. Not simply because of the words that you are saying, but because of who you are and who is saying them. You are a person who brings growth. You are a person who brings strength. You are a person who encourages others and nurtures others into the people that God has made them to be. You might not have kids. You might be unable to have kids physically, but that doesn't neglect or negate who God has made you to be in terms of speaking truth and love over his children. You can be the voice of a mother to anyone in virtue of you speaking to the children of God. What Satan might use for evil, by stealing, by destroying, I know there's very, very few people here, but if you're unable to have kids, or you found it difficult to have kids, or there's been problems about having kids, that doesn't negate who you are and who God has made you to be. Don't allow that to ruin the identity that God has given you as a mother spiritually over the children of God. We talk about pastors and leaders, and Levi mentioned, you know, voice influence could be the leaders of the church, but pastor is just another word for shepherd. It's not a professional role. It's not a fancy title. It's someone who cares for and looks after someone else. And mums don't just say that. They do that. They are that role. So I want to encourage you not just to speak these words out over others, but to also believe that what you're speaking, what you're saying will have an impact and will have power over the lives of those who hear it. And our responsibility, our joint responsibility as a church, is that when the voices of the fathers and the mothers speak, when the voice who is compassionate, when the voice who is caring, when the voice who is nurturing, when the voice who is self-sacrificial, who is consistent, who is loving, who is in all essence completely for us, we need to be obedient to that voice, because there's no better person that loved us consistently, self-sacrificially, and all the other words that we used earlier, than Jesus himself. There is no one else that spoke those better than Jesus himself. We get to take part in speaking Jesus' words over each other. And we need to be quick to obey what he asks us to. Not because we're just being obedient, not just because we're being blind with faith, but because we're listening to the voice and the spirit that looks after, that cares for, that nurtures us, the voice of the mother. Jesus speaks through you. Mums, Jesus speaks through you. So, Father God, we thank you that your words over us come from a heart of love, of care and compassion. We thank you, Jesus, that there is nothing that can come against us more powerful than your love for us. So, God, today as we listen to your voice, we're reminded of the voice of influence of the mother, who is caring, who is nurturing, who brings us close. God, we ask that for the mums, for the women here, that you give them boldness to speak love, truth, protection, compassion, liberty, freedom, justice, favor, strength, that their words aren't just words that are empty, but they're full, they're pregnant with the power of your Spirit, Jesus. And I pray for us as a church congregation that when we hear your voice, God, speak to us, that we listen carefully, that we are quick to obey, that we don't listen to you just with, do we agree, do we not agree, is it right, is it wrong, but we listen to you, God, and obey quickly what you tell us to do. God, we love you and we pray that this word finds its right place in our hearts. Amen.